Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, for hour two of the Rod Peterson Show, coming at you on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com/listen live. Just ahead of Jason Strudwick, who is logged in from the City of Champions to talk about the latest installment of the Battle of Alberta. If you're just joining us, last hour we did award two more tables to our inaugural Ballers Rod Peterson Show Super Bowl party this Sunday, featuring the Chiefs and the 49ers. Mark Zosel and Chris Ray both correctly said it was 2013 in New Orleans, the last time the San Francisco 49ers appeared in the big game. So Mark Zosel and Chris Ray, we will see you at Ballers on Sunday, Regina's newest entertainment destination. And Randy Nickel writes in, he says, guys, what are your thoughts about Roger Goodell suggesting Toronto is an ideal site for an NFL team? I'm just going to save that, put it on the old back burner here, and we'll come back on that. I was searching stories on Roger Goodell's news conference yesterday. I didn't see anything on him saying Toronto would be an ideal site for the NFL. As a matter of fact, he said exactly the opposite that for as long as he's been in office. So unless something's changed, I'd like to see evidence of that, and we'll research it. But let's bring him in now. Jason Strudwick, broadcaster, chef to the stars, joining us on video chat today. Hey, Struds, how are you?
I'm good. I don't know about chef to the stars. I cook for my kids. Does that count?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it does. So, 4-3, Flames in a shootout. Did it, aside from the outcome, did it live up to the hype last night?
Oh, what a game. You know, there's a lot of excitement, and it's pretty rare that I feel jealous about the current players, about what they're doing. But that game, you could feel it. You could feel it at the morning skate. You could feel it leading up over the break. And then last night, even in the building, there's a lot of Flames fans, a lot of Oilers fans. And you know, the Oilers, I thought, started a little sluggishly, and then they got themselves going. And when you saw Monahan and Nuge fight, that to me tipped it off that even two very calm guys, I mean, at times it's hard to tell that Monahan's even alive out there, that they fought and they got into it. You knew this game meant something for both teams. And I loved the game. You know, other than the 2 points, I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Well, Oscar Klefbom said it after the first period with Gene. He said, this is why we play the game. Games like this. So, yeah, we could feel it coming through the television. So were you there, by the way? Were you in the building?
Oh, yeah, I was there. I wanted to watch that one. And, you know, I tried to go to a few games. And when you're there, it just gets a sense of what's going on. Like, I wanted to see, what do the guys look like in warm-up? What do they look like when they came up before the game? You know, who started? What did that look like? Like, all those types of things that – you know, coaches put it in there, and maybe sometimes it's lost on the casual fan. But, you know, as a guy who kind of went through it, you know what the players are thinking, how they're feeling. So the energy was incredible. And when Cassian and Tkachuk fought, you know, it was great. The building went crazy, and I give him credit for standing up and doing it. I liked that Cassian didn't feel the need to take on a fight from the Lucic or Ronaldo, who was asking him for one. You know, he had no problem with those guys. And Tkachuk, who I really like as a player, by the way, he initiated this whole thing. And then he stood up, he fought, now it's done. But that doesn't mean this battle's over. Like, I think that Saturday night's game, you know, Sportsnet or CBC, whoever is the one that pays the bills, should be absolutely thrilled. I think this could be one of the highest-ranking games of the year for viewership.
Absolutely, no doubt. And Tkachuk came out of this as the winner of the whole thing. His team won. He answered the bell. Yeah. I'm with you. I earned a lot of respect for Tkachuk last night. But here's my concern as an Oilers fan, despite the Coyotes jacket. Can't beat Calgary in big games. That is what I'm sure you guys are talking about today.
Yeah, it'll be on the mind. And, you know, it's a big game. And, you know, quite frankly, coming off the break, I think it's really hard. As a former player, I can tell you just your timing's off. And I thought last night we saw that in the first 5 to 10 minutes for the Oilers as a team, it wasn't good. Then some of their defensive decisions were poor. They just gave up some easy goals to the mighty Flames. I'm thinking of the one that came out of the corner where Mangiapane goes around Smith and kind of tucks it around. Complete blown coverage there by Riley Shane. But it happens. You haven't played for a while. We also saw it in the power play for the Edmonton Oilers. I thought there were some great individual efforts that led to some scoring chances on the power play, but not that meticulous setup that we were used to seeing from the Oilers. So those two areas I thought were really struggled for the Edmonton Oilers. But you're right. You know, they haven't had a chance or been able to beat them, at least this year, in a way that is satisfying. Last night, they completely were competing with them the whole time. They just didn't get the 2 points. So this team's moving in the right direction. And I still think the Dodgers have more room for improvement than the Flames do. I mean, the Flames, obviously, they got to get Monahan and Goudreau going. And Goudreau didn't have much of an impact on the game last night. But I think the Oilers will continue to develop, not so much as individuals, but as a team, their team game. Guys like Riley Sheehan and Archibald on that third line, what they're doing. You know, I thought Sam Gagner had a good game last night. Getting Matt Benning back in, he just quiets down that third pairing. Caleb Jones will be a good defenseman in the future. But you're in must-win games now, and you need to be able to play those guys more and get some more contribution out of them. So getting him back helps. So I think there's quite a bit of room to go for the Oilers. But what a ride for anyone who's, you know, even you are such a strong Arizona Coyotes fan. You must know that this run will be great in the last 30 games for all the teams in the Pacific.
I've moved on from the Coyotes. I've gone back to my roots as an Oilers fan. Although Vegas is wooing me, I'm going down there next month, Struds. So we'll see. We'll see how it lands up. But we have a Flames fan here in the bunker, so let's abuse him for a while. What do you got for Struds, Daryl?
Jason, it's Daryl from CTV. Impressed you the most, and adversely, who disappointed you the most on the Flames side last night?
Well, Mangiapane, you know, it's funny. You always take a look at the stats before the game. You're like, oh, this guy's got X number of points, or you're expecting this or that. I swear, based on how Mangiapane plays against the Flames, I thought he's a 20-goal scorer. And I was sitting and watching the game with Rob Brown, and we're like, man, this guy's good. How many goals he got? And I think now he has 10. I think before the game he had 7 or 8 or whatever it was. And we're both like, why? This guy's amazing. And what I like about it is his tenacity. You know, he plays with speed. He plays, inside guys. And what to me inside means that you, instead of coming and reaching with your stick and keeping that distance, you do have that stick at first, but then you close the space and get right up tight to someone and fight for them with that puck. And he does a really good job. And he's also got those hands. So he's a guy that really impressed me. On the flip side, Johnny Gaudreau. And I touched on him a little bit, but, you know, Johnny, I think in big games, Johnny has to figure out how to have an impact, even though he's not a big body. And I'll use the example of Kyler Yamamoto for the Oilers. Right off that face-off, lost face-off, puck goes to net by Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto finds a way to kind of fight his way in there and get a rebound and makes a nice goal going on the five hole of Riddick. But, you know, he goes into the kind of a bigger man's area, but still has success. And for Gaudreau, at times I feel he's a little bit too much of a perimeter guy, and he's got to find a way to get involved in those kind of muddy areas without getting his boots dirty, if that makes sense. Because he's not going to out-muscle a lot of people, but you still got to go in there and find a way to contribute. So, you know, Gaudreau is a great talent, but he's got to find a way to play a bigger man's game in a smaller body in games like last night.
Jason Aldumba here. Just getting back to the Oilers now, probably the biggest thing they'll have to work on to make the playoffs is the back end, and goaltender is obviously important. How do you think that Tippett's going to use the goaltenders, you know, in tandem the rest of the way? I know Smith's being a little bit older. If he's going to be the number one guy down the road or in the playoffs, if he is, do they have to give him a little bit of rest first, or is he going to have a chance to keep playing through?
Well, first off, let me apologize as a former Kamloops Blazers for all the drubbings I gave their flight of pass. That was
I was going to mention. I was going to mention that I coached against you, and it wasn't fun.
Yeah. I wasn't a points guy, but I love playing the pass because I got my points those nights.
poor Chad Mercier. Yeah. Continue. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding. But actually, we had a good time when we go there. We didn't want to practice in Regina one time. I remember our coach is Don Hay. And one of my teammates, we were so mad we had a practice in Regina that my Don Hay skates were left at the front door of our practice, of our dressing room. So my teammate, Jason Holland, with all the guys cheering him on, he dulled the skates, he grinded them on the cement to get all the edge off. And he went out there and he was like, man, he couldn't skate. So practice was canceled. And he was a hero. He was an absolute hero. And Donnie, I thought he was going to murder our skate sharpening guy, Spike Wallace. So we got out of practice. And I don't remember if we won or lost the game, but we didn't have to practice. And that was a win for us. But getting back to your question about the goalies, it's a good one because my biggest concern for this team was the goaltenders. Mikko Koskinen didn't have a big tracker. And what we saw last year, he got quite tired quite quickly. He had some nice games, but he really fatigued. Then on the other side, you have Mike Smith, who's been a good goalie for a long time, a sick puck handler, probably one of the best stick handlers on the team, counting, all the D-men. And I was worried about his age and how would he find a way to to contribute to this team. But it's been a real bright spot for it. Dave Timmons done a good job. For before Christmas, it was all like two on, two off, two on, two off. So that gave those the goalies a sense to get into a rhythm. But also when they weren't playing, they were able to get on the ice with the goalie coach and keep their skills up. And you know, whether it was, you know, a finer point that they kind of lost over the last little while when they were playing or something they want to work on. So they were always sharp. And then recently, since then, it seems like whoever's hot is playing and the other guy's kind of gone soft, and then they flip-flop back again. So Mike Smith last night, you know, I thought he, you know, the first goal, Larson tips it, and what are you going to do? You know, that was a kind of a unfortunate thing. But he had some nice saves, Derek Ryan breakaway. So do they go back with him on Friday, or do they play Mikko on Friday, then go with Mike on Saturday? I would probably be inclined to play Mikko on Friday against St. Louis and then give Mike Smith another chance against Calgary. The one thing we all know about Mike Smith is very competitive guy, you know, against his own, the teams he's playing, but with his own team as well. He wants to be the man. So I'd really like to see that matchup, but Dave's handled it really well. The D-man, it's an adjustment, because when you're a D-man and you have one goalie who doesn't like to play the puck and you have another guy who zips it around like, you know, Leon Draisaitl does, you really have to understand who you're with and what's the pros and cons of each of those guys. And I can tell from personal experience, like Henrik Lundqvist didn't like to play the puck. That I would just hope that he'd stop it behind the net and not put it up against the wall flat so I could get run by one of those big monsters that used to be in the league. You know, now these guys are a little bit better at playing it, but you really have to think as a D-man, understand what can you do, how can I make it easier for them to get the outlet pass, and what the advantage is.
Run out of time, but two quick questions. Rachel Tassoni has a question for you. She's a viewer, Struds. She says, did that game show you that the Oilers certainly don't have the grit? Juju was disappointing, and the Oilers turned it over way too much. Your thoughts?
No, I have no problem with the grit factor. I mean, fighting's gone. Fighting's out of the league. I know we saw two last night, but within 10 years, there will be none. You think about it, the kids are going up. They're 8 years old that I coach. You know, I grew up idolizing Wendell Clark. These kids now idolize Connor McDavid. He never fights, and he doesn't have to. There's no fighting in the league. So, no, I don't think there's a grit factor problem at all. Larson, Nurse, you know, some of the guys up front, Zach Kassian, Jujhar Khaira, I think right now he really doesn't understand what his role is. So, no, I'm not concerned about that at all. Would I like to see a bigger forward that can, you know, play a little bit stronger game? Yeah, I would, like a Kreider on the team. But I'm a real cheap guy when it comes to my assets if I'm a GM. So I'm not trading. This isn't the big year to make a trade or bring in a body like that.
Football question, are you still a Ryder fan slash?
Oh, yeah. I'm a Riders fan. I know I'm a big times Riders fan, and I like that team a ton. And you know, I don't know if they're going to keep doing as well as they had, but I do like them. And then this weekend for the Super Bowl, obviously, I'm pretty excited about that. I'm a Giants fan, so I don't really care who wins. Just want to have a good game.
I was just going to ask you your thoughts on Cody Fajardo, who I don't mind going on record as saying I have a large man crush on this quarterback for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. West Division most outstanding player. Just your thoughts on 2020. We're hosting the Grey Cup here. Cody's leading the parade. Are you following it?
Yeah, you know, I really like him. And I think that, you know, people underestimate, especially here in Edmonton, because I would talk a lot about on our radio show. Oh, well, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. But yeah, look what he is doing. You know, he is getting this team to win. And, you know, that was it, the third series that Caleros went out. This guy comes out of nowhere, puts his, wiener dog or whatever he likes down on the sides. They hold
corn dog. Corn dog.
Corn dog, yeah. Puts his corn dog down. All of a sudden, he's leading this team to what they did. So I'm excited about the team. And, you know, you watch him. I think he's a guy you want to play for. You know, and it's hard to understand that, but you want to have a guy that, you know, inspires you and competes and battles and all those types of things. And as a quarterback, I think he brings those elements to the team. You know, is he as a pure passer as some of the others in the league? No. But that intangible of he'll do anything to win, I think, is really good. And in that way, he reminds me a little bit of Mike Riley, who now is in BC. But Mike, you know, Mike, if he needed to get 10 yards, he was going to get hit the last six, he'd do it. And Cody has the same thing. I don't know if Cody throws his ball as well as Mike, although not many do, but I'm really excited about it. I'm going to love to try to get down there for the Grey Cup, because I think it'd be an amazing time and a good party, which, you know, I don't mind a good party.
We've got a spot for you, Struds, if you decide to. So I appreciate this. I really love the visit. Our viewers did too. Thanks, and keep in touch.
Yeah, go Pats. Sorry about the comments.
No, you're not. That's the thing. We're going to bash you now.
Own it.
That's okay. We're rebuilding again. So what the heck?
We're rebuilding again. Thanks,
well, how long
Struds.
Have you been built for? 25 years?
I guess coming from Kamloops, you can say it, right?
Well, Kamloops just went through one. Finally.
Yeah, they're on their 20-year rebuild in Kamloops. Yeah. Anyways, so long, Struds.
guys. Have a good day.
He was there in the good years where I will never forget. It was the biggest sports buffoonery ever was when they were moving on from Bob Brown and said, we're going in another direction. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You did. And I don't know why or whatever, but don't say that. They haven't been the same.
No. No, they haven't.
You seem very uncomfortable talking about the Kamloops Blazers against the Regina Pats.
Oh, uncomfortable? Well, they were a very good hockey club, but, you know, too. And when I coached against them, you know, they had defense that was unbelievable. They had, you know, goaltending, which was solid.
Everything was unbelievable.
And they always had great coaching. They were a tough team to play against always, yeah. And they knew what they were doing. They came into Regina and beat us 2-1. And we didn't have the same quality of team as them. I remember the 1 year, and I think Donnie Hay was assistant coach that year. But they came in, and they just played a real, real solid hockey game against us, and we couldn't score. We tried. We had a great game. We lost 2-1.
Well, talk about PTSD and flashbacks. They say this somewhat facetiously, but you go into Kamloops and that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, taking care of business.
Yeah.
You get in a shell shock. Because it'd be 7-8 times they'd be playing it every time the Blazers scored. But I remember, we all love the old-time dub stories. There's no better stories than junior hockey stories. And Prince Albert, Communiplex, I'm the voice of the Raiders. That was the era Struds was talking about. You were coaching the Pats. I was in PA.
Yeah.
Raiders were very good. Kamloops was very good. So this was a buildup of a very big game. And it's Randy Petruk. Strudwick, as he mentioned, Don McKelly, Aginla, all those guys. 3,567 are packing the Prince Albert Communiplex because that was exactly what the building held. And I remember late in the game, it's 3-3. Donnie Clark's coaching the Raiders. Don Hayes coaching the Blazers. Hazer calls a timeout. It's so loud in there. Like, that place is like a zoo. Was. Probably was a couple years ago when they went to the league final. Hazer took the guys down the tunnel, and you don't remember the rink, under the stands. Yeah. And I'm like, I'd never seen that before. I'm calling the game, and I'm calling like Bob Cole, 1976, you know, Canada-Russia. They're going home! I thought they were leaving. But Hazer took them under the stands because it was so loud, they couldn't hear what he was saying in the timeout. In a regular season game.
Wow.
I don't know if we'll ever, the Dub will get back to that. Or maybe some markets have it. We just haven't seen it for a long, long time.
No, it is. You're right. It was different back then, but at the same time, I think we'll see it again. It just depends. Again, you came up with two of the best teams in all of Canada that year, so made it for pretty exciting hockey. Very exciting.
We'll take a break. Paul watching in Red Deer from the Dub Network website, which I've been finding myself reading more and more and more. He says, you are so right, Rod. We need more junior hockey stories and books. Well, we got a million. We'll be back. We got to talk about the NFL to Toronto. This is the worst thing for the CFL. Thanks, Roger Goodell. That and more coming up. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rob.
Welcome back, everybody. This is going to get fun with this NFL, the Toronto chat. But first, a sports update for Seat Giant and Wendell Clark's. Sean Monahan scored the only goal of the shootout as the Flames edged the Oilers 4-3 in Edmonton. Andrew Mangiapane.
So good.
Had a pair of goals, and Elias Lindholm also scored for the Flames, who ended the Otters' two-game win streak. Meanwhile, in San Jose, the Canucks maintained their two-point lead in the Pacific Division with a 5-2 win over the Sharks. Mitch Marner set up the first two goals as the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Stars 5-3 in Dallas. Bear with me. I thought I updated this. I did. Steven Stamkos had two goals and an assist, and Eric Chernik scored the tie-breaking goal early in the third period in the Lightning's 4-2 win over the LA Kings in the first sporting event at Staples Center since Kobe Bryant's death. The arena held a somber pregame ceremony honoring Bryant and the other eight members of Sunday's helicopter crash. This sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPShow and get discounts for RPShow fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. And for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon, see it, Wendell's. So, to the football talk, these guys have opinions. I have opinions. Nelson Hakowicz writing in on the Facebook wall, he says, the NFL won't go to Toronto. There is no need to build a stadium there. Only way it happens is via relocation. Well, Darren DuPont hightailed it in here in the break. He did a quick little research on the Goodell quote. And I think it seems to me, guys, just from what Darren said, because I didn't see the quote, I didn't see the clip, that people are taking what Goodell said and running with it. And he basically said, hey, Toronto's a nice city. I've been there. But if it's going to happen, they need a new stadium. Nelson, you said there's no need to build a stadium. I would beg to differ. Skydome opened in 89. By pro sports standards, that's ancient. Sorry to say.
I agree with you. I'm not sure it would ever go in Toronto. Maybe it would, but there's going to have to be a lot of corporate seats going on. I can't see the people off the street going in to watch too many hockey game or football games. Sorry, I think it would be a tough sell at start, but who knows? I haven't done too much research on this, so
you don't have to.
All
you're
those
a
teams,
fan. I'm just in, and you're a business guy.
Yeah.
So as far as dollars and cents goes, go ahead, Bandit.
All those teams have a draw area, right? And Toronto would fit right into that Buffalo Bills ring. There are so many people across the border to see NFL football already. Would there be an appetite for it necessarily? Team would have to be pretty good.
Is there infringement rights when
that's
you're too close?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Like, do they have to pay Buffalo or
four words or four teams? New York Giants, New York Jets, L.A. Rams, L.A. Chargers. They're right in the same town.
That's a massive metropolitan area, right? The Bills
they're
are
both
still,
big cities, but Toronto's big.
Leeching, right?
Toronto's big.
But the Bills would still be leeching from Toronto.
Oh, I can't imagine
isn't that the
Bills
same kind of thing like Toronto not wanting a Hamilton NHL team? Similar.
It depends on how you look at it. It's perspective. I mean, having a geographic rival that close can be good or bad. And I don't care about the National Football League. From a CFL perspective, the Argos have just been flickering on life support for the last couple of years. This is like literally pulling the plug out of the wall. You're done. If anybody that loves pro football in Toronto starts to think there's even a glimmer of hope of the NFL coming, it's the worst thing ever for the Argos. Or am I wrong? That's the way I see it.
No, it's crushing, absolutely.
Well, crushing probably for the rest of the teams, too, in the CFL, in the Toronto Ontario area. I think they would draw a lot. If they were successful, they're going to draw a lot from Ottawa. They're going to draw a lot from Hamilton. They're going to draw. So who knows what it does to the CFL.
Well, there are fans though of the CFL that love the Canadian product, the Canadian game, and would support only that. But you're right, there's going to be some fringe people that, well, should I pay $85 and go see a Toronto, whatever you want to call them, NFL football game, or do I want to see a Toronto Argonauts game? And the fringe fan would probably go to the NFL.
And don't forget, too, Skydome, which a lot of people, oh, look at this, look at this. People writing in like crazy. Chris Clark, Skydome will not be hosting another football game after the renos they did to the floor for baseball. So they can't even play football in there anyways. It only holds 55,000 for football, which is a pittance by National Football League standards. I think the minimum seating capacity in the NFL is about 68,000. Minimum. Cowboys Stadium, AT&T, America's Stadium, 95,000 there. I'm not going to piddly little Toronto.
They're in piddly little Green Bay.
Fill the place. They get 80,000.
If you build it the right way, if you build it, they'll come, right?
Isn't you're, that just playing, said? You're just no, playing I counterpoint.
Know, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Which is totally fine.
It's fun.
But it's just like, Toronto, get over yourselves. Yeah. Get over yourselves. This is not good for the Canadian Football League. And that's why I am just a massive proponent of moving the Argos to Moncton or Halifax. You don't even need to change their name. But Toronto's just been sucking the soul out of the CFL for a very long time, since the early 90s. Colin McNulty writes in, he says, don't worry, Rod, no way the NFL comes to Toronto. Ontario is the large subnational government debt holder in the world. Okay. So Paul in Red Deer says Soldier Field in Chicago, 65,000 is the smallest. Okay, I was off by 3,000. Jason Wall, Las Vegas Raiders Stadium costs $1.84 billion. Does Toronto have that kind of money? The easy answer is no. And we've had Jim Lang on multiple times. Very good friend of mine. He is Canada's foremost expert on the National Football League. Covered it for years for Sportsnet. He said, it's not just about getting the team, which they're now worth $1.5 billion to $2 billion. It's the stadium, too, that's going to be $2 billion. So now you're talking $4 billion for the NFL to come to Toronto. And the thing is, why even talk about it? Because of that reason, Al, you're the money guy. It's not going to happen. So to even talk about it just is a waste of time.
You're still going to talk. People talk in Saskatchewan about getting an NHL team. They thought we came fairly close in the past years ago. Today, same thing. You're going to have to build a 19,000-seat arena. You would have to have, you know, obviously how much would it cost to bring an NHL? Same thing. Who's the big money guys that are going to bring that type of situation? But people still want to talk about it. Why not?
And that's what shows like this are for. You see that my mind just drifted off. Like, I get it. That's what shows like this are for. But the NHL to Saskatchewan is not a detriment to the WHL. No. The talk isn't. The talk of the NFL to Toronto hurts the CFL greatly, in my opinion.
If you brought an NHL team to Saskatchewan, there's only so many corporate dollars in our province, you're going to bleed every one of the major junior teams in the WHL to some extent.
And it's going to kill the Riders or hurt the Riders.
And then it's going to pull stuff from the SJA, and it's just going to filter right down. Would it hurt the Riders? Probably, but there's a lot of football fans here, so it might hurt, but not as bad. I think the whole hockey right through, not enough people, not enough money to support junior hockey at each level.
I couldn't agree more, but these are two different things.
Right.
We're saying the talk of it doesn't hurt the dub,
CFL. Yes, agree with you.
But there. If the NFL moves to Toronto, goodbye, see ya, fold up the tent, we're gone. If the NHL comes to Saskatchewan, probably the same thing for junior hockey, which would be unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And that's just because of market size. Because in Seattle, when it was announced the NHL was coming there, I initially thought it would be bad for the Thunderbirds and the Everett Silvertips. But then I had some hockey titans call me, and we talked about this. They're like, no, this is great for the Thunderbirds and the Silvertips. Different market, more hockey the better, right? Yeah. That all makes sense. It's a little like the Jets in Winnipeg. We got a lot of Jets viewers. I have so many friends there that have said, hey, it's awesome that the Jets came to town, but it's hurt the Bombers, it's hurt the Arts, it's hurt all kinds of things, because all the money's going into the Jets, all of it.
like Al said, only so many dollars to go around. Yeah, you're absolutely
right. It's the same thing. And I think one of the hugest, I talk about this with my friends in sports and business all the time. There's a million people in Manitoba. There's a million people in Saskatchewan. It shouldn't be that different. But the difference is 750,000 of them in Manitoba live in one spot. Winnipeg. You know, so there is a big difference. And that's how it can support the NHL. Yeah. But they're just not going to be driving from all over Saskatchewan for 41 dates to go to an NHL game in Saskatoon. They just aren't. Okay. Well, here's a guy, Al, that you and I know very well. And how long you been around, Bandit, in this town?
This town, 6 years.
Oh, so you wouldn't have interviewed the great Colton Tubert.
I got to put on these.
And I just kicked my headphones out. I assume we're going to Pacific Northwest here, Washington. There it is. There he is. Smiling already. He's got his teeth in this morning. Colton Tubert. Good morning, Tubby. How are you?
I'm doing good, Rod. How are you doing?
Good. It's been far, far too long since we chatted. I think since the last time you were in town for some alumni event, a golf tournament in the summer. But I'm following you very closely, Colton, on LinkedIn and so forth and social media. And you're coaching junior hockey out there in the Pacific Northwest. So before we go any further to down memory lane, tell us what you're into right now and how much you're enjoying it.
Well, I'm currently in Medford, Southern Oregon. Just arrived, bussed all night with the boys and Lily coaches here. I'm coaching the Bellingham Blazers in the WSHL. It's a junior hockey program, Tier 3, Junior A, pay-to-play league. So I'm really with a bunch of kids that are looking for that second chance opportunity, have been doubted, and really just focusing in on skill development and being their leader. It's been a first year coach experience for me, so I've had a lot of challenges and learning experiences, and I'm just really looking forward to getting in some games this weekend and getting our team back on track.
Well, and it's home for you ish by the way. You're a West Coast kid, White Rock, BC, even though your dad's from out here. And say hi to Carl, by the way, for me. But I got so many things to go through with you, Tubby. And for those that don't know, and most of our viewers are 30 and under, given the digital aspect of what we do here, so they know who you are. With Captain Canada, Jordan Eberle, you were on the ice. You were there with Team Canada with the greatest World Junior goal ever scored, first-round pick of the LA Kings. And again, a Pats captain. But Colton, here's the thing that's flooding my mind right now is, when you became a coach, when did your outlook on the game change? From being a player, or how did it change?
Well, at first I was battling it, of course, because I still felt in my mind I was a player, and I had moments where I acted like a player as well, and not just that learning curve for me as a new coach, but it's really when you have that first experience with a challenging player, and or somebody that doesn't fit your identity of the team that you want to build. And so I've had those this year. I've had to make tough decisions. I basically run everything to do with this program. I'm the GM. I'm the head coach. I grab the food for the guys. I schedule all the travel. I'm the finance guy. So it's a lot of burden on my shoulders, but it's a challenge that I accept. And I was waiting for an opportunity to prove myself and work my way back into the pros, into professional hockey, in the WHL, these type of hockey avenues. So I think I'm just paying my dues right now and learning the hard way. This is not a an ideal situation to be coaching at this level, because some of the kids that I do have aren't all in like I'm all in. So it's been difficult for me in my recruiting process to sniff out the guys that really want it.
Well, for those that don't know, and these guys can jump in here anytime, but I was there the day the Pats drafted you. I was in the building and have known you for a long time. And I know in here, you will pull this off. And I'm not just talking with your club now, but just in your career. But when did you decide this is something that you wanted to do with your life when you hung him up as a player?
I had a tough 6 months when I first hung him up, just because my wife had gone through a brain tumor surgery. We were trying to figure out what was next and how to manage life as like a young family. And I got an opportunity with Brand Tractor in the positioning technology sales division as a territory manager from a good friend of mine, Dean Iacone, and Kevin Brunch in Brant, British Columbia here. And I took that as an opportunity to learn and really understand business. And I created a $1 million trap line. I did really good sales in technology with the heavy equipment industry. And I was training kids on the side as well. And I like had that passion of, okay, like I love heavy equipment. This can be my future. But like I had that itch that I hadn't scratched yet with getting back into hockey full time. And I just jumped on an opportunity. I got a phone call. A coach backed out of a coaching role in Bellingham, and I didn't even know the team existed, to be honest with you. I live just about 25 minutes north of the rink. I went down to the rink, I saw a blank canvas, and now I'm really kind of at the forefront of a nonprofit called Whatcom Sports and Recreation, which owns the team. I'm the guy doing the capital fundraising. I'm the community relations guy. I'm the guy selling our nonprofit to the community for sponsorship support. So it's been a big skip of a rock for me all of a sudden, from just being a Brandt tractor salesman to now I'm in this major role with tons of responsibility. And it's a challenge that I'm meeting expectations. I love it every day. And it's something that keeps me busy. I'm at the rink a lot. And I look forward to see kind of how it opens doors for me and how this hard work pays off for me.
Golden Al here, congratulations on the job. I think it's great for you to put back into the hockey like you are and hopefully can progress as a coach, which I'm sure you will. The kids that you have on your team now, what are their goals? Are they younger team, or are they a team that are looking to go on to college from here, or are they looking to move up to junior ranks, or are they, you know, at the age level they're at and their development? How is that for most of them?
I have a bit of a mixed bag. I only have one 20-year-old currently. My second 20-year-old did just retire yesterday due to head injuries and some personal reasons. But my one 20-year-old, he's not ready to go to school. He wants to go surfing in Tofino when he's done. I've been trying to get him on pace. He's a good young, skilled hockey player, could potentially play in Europe somewhere. But most of these guys are looking for that BCHL, SJ call-up. They're really hunting to get to the league, where they're valued and you know there's attendance and they have a fan base that's realistic to a non-paying league, right? They also all, you know, they want to play in the dub. Everybody wants to play in the dub. I think that's super important to have these goals. Some of them are unrealistic for them, but at the same time, the push and the drive in a core group of my guys, I do see a future in hockey for some of them. And it's exciting to get to train them every day. Some of them might only be Division III college athletes, but there is two or three of them that do have that opportunity to shock the world and be a D1 athlete if they get on at a school and walk on. And because they are talented hockey players at this level, all of them have a story and have made a mistake or something happened, and that's why they're with me, kind of.
Yeah. Have you been able to open up, rekindle all your old connections and relationships with people across the Western Hockey League and, you know, Tier 2 hockey in Western Canada to help these guys? A lot of guys coming forward to you and able to reach them without any problems? Have you had any good cases yet? Sorry. Go ahead.
Not quite yet. I have a couple guys that go up to the Surrey Eagles in the BCHL because I have connection there. I used to work for the Eagles in development, so that's good to for the guys to get the BCHL test. Right now, I did recently go out to the Pats, had a bobblehead night that kind of just wish-washed. But I think getting a couple guys out to camp would be great for this following season. I want to make sure they're ready too, and that I'm sending guys that can go cut it out there. So there's going to be a core group kind of training with me all summer to make that jump, to attempt to make that jump. So it'll be exciting to see if we can move any of those guys along.
Good stuff. Well, Colton, I know how busy you are, so I'll let you go. I'll say it again. I know you can do this. So we're following. I'll say good luck. If you ever need anything, you know where to find me. Say hi to your folks, and good luck on the ice.
Thanks, Rod. I appreciate you having me, and I look forward to getting back out to Regina soon, hopefully for an in-person interview. I'd love to be
you betcha. That'd be great.
Someday.
All the best. Good luck.
Colton Tuber joining us from Medford, Oregon, where he's coaching tonight in the Western States Hockey League. Boy, do we have a lot to get to. We do have to take a break, but we got a lot to get to here. Hang on. It's the Rod Peterson Show. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the big show. Rod Peterson Show, episode 167 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. I'm just going to ring the bell because Clark says to watch the prompter. There's lots of news coming down the pipe while we've been on the air here over the last 90-some minutes. Carl Tubert watching the program, and Carl writes in, great interview, Rod, listening from Calgary where Colton's brother Wyatt is playing in a midget tournament. From Big Carl. I call him Big Carl. Carl T. Thank you, Carl. And ask Tubi's team if he needs a broadcaster. I'd love to move to Bellingham, Washington. Are you kidding me?
Never been.
I don't even know anything about it.
It's beautiful. It's on the road between Seattle and Vancouver.
Oh, that Washington. Okay.
Oh.
Washington State. Yeah.
Beautiful over there.
Here's my thing on the Western States Hockey League. From a Colton Tubert perspective, get in, get out. Get in, have success, get out. Are you following anything that's going on with the WSHL?
I'm not.
Like, it's not necessarily a bad league. That's where Kevin Kaminsky came from with the Fresno Monsters. Like, I'm following it. But Meadow Lake has a team. Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, has a team in the WSHL, but it just disbanded this week. There was an incident in a game against, I believe, Hinton. You know where that is. You're an Alberta guy.
And that was it.
There was an incident in the crowd. It involved the visiting coach. I guess I'm the only nerd that reads this stuff. And then they end up disbanding the team the next morning. It wasn't just because of the crowd incident, but they broke. And some teams, it sounds like Colton's teams, are running pretty well.
Coach was swinging a stick, right?
So you did hear about it.
Yeah, that incident, I did.
Yeah, well, that's the league.
Like, it's insane.
Like, but they live...
Like,
they,
Jim Playfair style? Like, up on the bench?
Yes.
A fan had him by the scruff of the neck. Assistant, he came in there, like, just like...
It. Well, don't act all like right. You don't know. You know.
Well, I don't know the league, but I know the incident.
How do you know about the incident?
Because it's been in the news.
Okay.
So I've been paying attention to that. I didn't realize much about the league, though. I didn't, my knowledge into it or my exploration into it didn't go further than that.
There was a team in northern Alberta that Troy Mick was coaching this year. I think Cold Lake. And Troy Mick's a former Pat, Portland Winterhawk, Vernon Vipers. Pretty big name in hockey, Troy Mick. He left. They folded. So, yeah. But this league operates in sectors.
Sounds like pockets.
Pockets, whatever you want, quadrants.
Yeah.
Okay, all over North America.
So did the whole thing fold or just that?
No, just certain teams are dropping out here. Okay. So that quadrant of which Tubert operates in with his team is actually doing pretty well. But the one in Western Canada is not. And they're considered a rogue league where parents have to pay for their kids to play. And the Hockey Canada and the SHA sent out an edict to all players saying, if you play in this league, you will not be recognized by Hockey Canada. You know, we used to have to sign cards to play. Do you remember we used to have to do that?
Player cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cannot be signed to a card in Hockey Canada if you play in this league.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It's somewhat fascinating.
You're really up on this.
These are the things that interest me.
All right.
Yeah, here it is from Nelson. How do you know about this, Nelson? Look at Nelson. He's the encyclopedia of rogue junior hockey teams. The Barhead Bombers, the Cold Lake Hornets, the Edson Arrows.
Great team names right off the hop.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
the Arrows.
If I'd have had time with Rachel Holman, because we were talking about other things in Paradise Hill, but her husband is a junior coach in St. Paul, Alberta.
Oh.
Does St. Paul have a team in the AJ? Or it might be in this league. I'm not sure. But her husband is a junior hockey coach, Rachel Holman.
St. Albert?
Like the St. Paul.
St. Paul. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. See what you're learning, Daryl?
Do you know what? They say you learn one new thing every day. My day's over. That's it. I'm going home.
Blowing it out of the water. He's coming home.
Back to bed.
Put your feet up. You've won the day. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Clark. I'm glad you put this up here. So, Mick, mind-blowing here, emoji. Breaking news. Major announcement from an Edmonton football team. We would like to welcome Kavis Reed to the club. Offensive coordinator of Edmonton Wildcats.
Junior football.
Dun, dun, dun. That's interesting. Mick Panko watching the show, and he says, Kavis Reed is Eskimos offensive coordinator? Wow. No, Jerry. The Edmonton Wildcats. You know this is going to be 24 hours of people thinking it's the Eskimos. Yes.
An Edmonton 48. Team is signed.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Edmonton. He's going to Edmonton as the offensive coordinator.
This is the greatest thing to ever happen to the Wildcats. People are going to go to their website.
No, it is. It's really good for the Wildcats.
It's really great.
Publicity stunt.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting
publicity period.
Super interesting for Kavis.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about what realm do you put yourself in, and you know, making that move and deciding to go to the CJFL, it's humbling. It's humbling for Kavis Reed, who's the Canadian Football League general manager, coach. He's done it all. Real humbling for him. But he wants to stay in the game, wants to prove he can still be a coordinator, maybe get back to the CFL. So he's taken his medicine, and he's going to go and continue to do what he loves to do, which is coach football. So,
which I totally respect. He's getting in it for the love of the game. Why are we on the air here? For the love of broadcasting. Same thing.
Yep.
So kudos for Kavis for doing that. But don't be fooled, folks. When people are telling you that Kavis Reed's been hired as Edmonton's offensive coordinator, please chime in and say, it's the Wildcats! Which is cool in the PFC, but it's not the Eskimos. More breaking news from Clark.
Great cowbell. It's not anywhere near the proximity of my ear, so that's great.
Do you know why cows wear horns? Or why they wear bells? Because their horns don't work. That's an old farm joke there.
Milestone.
I love milestone.
Why do cows wear bells? Because their horns don't work. I kind of muddled it up, but you get the point. More breaking news.
I'm going to use that at some point.
Maybe that'll be the question of the day on CTV Morning Live. Those questions that you have.
Yep.
You solicit from the viewers.
Yep. Tell us your best dad joke.
The Alouettes have released Antonio Pipkin ahead of a roster bonus. So Antonio Pipkin, who's a fan of the show, right, Clark? He likes our Instagram post. That tells us that he's a fan of the show. He's now going to be on the street. Somebody signing Antonio Pipkin? I would think so.
Yeah, I would too.
He was the next big thing in Montreal for a while.
Yeah.
Till the emergence of Vernon Adams Jr.
No, he was. He's going to make. He's going to find a home. The teams out there will need an insurance policy or a backup. I mean, how many starting quarterbacks last the full season and don't need some time off at some point? Due to injury. So he'll play. So
he won't be the first domino to fall, though.
No.
Right? It's going to be Matt Nichols.
Oh, yeah,
Nichols.
For sure. It'll be Nichols, or it'll be Arbuckle, or it'll be one of the others before it happens. But, yeah, that's interesting. Montreal clearing out some space, and then... You don't have to.
It's about money.
It's about money.
Always
and
is.
And with James Wilder Jr. now going to Montreal, that's big, too, right? So they've been busy. I like what the Alouettes are doing. I really do.
Bandit, we'll let you go, and we'll come back with the overtime. But what would you like our viewers and listeners to know? What's up? Give us something.
What's up? What's up? It was 6 to 9, Monday to Friday, CTV Morning Live. If you can tune in, that'd be great. We got a whole roster of guests. We're still talking about Bell Let's Talk Day and continuing the conversation of mental health because it's not just one day.
Awesome.
It's throughout the course of an entire year. So
I enjoyed you on Pure Country this morning.
Thanks.
92.7.
Yeah, I'm making the rounds.
You sound good
now
in FM. Yeah, he's on vacation. This is what this guy does on vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the hat.
I get to hang out with people like you.
I appreciate it. And Brandon
Hall.
Fantastic. And the hat. I like it. Berta. Can you get a look at, look straight at the camera, Daryl.
Sideways map.
You act like you're a
little taste
TV rookie.
Oop, there we go.
Upside down. There you go.
It's straight in front of you, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Vacation.
Repping the province.
Repping the province.
Well, it's kind of like the good old Sasky stuff that we wear, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I've been looking for something that says home.
Okay. All right, Bandit, appreciate the time.
Appreciate your time. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
We'll be back with the overtime segment in a moment. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you got to see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive. For only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause. Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
This is the overtime segment, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Just like yesterday, it has been just a heck of a lot of fun. And we're not going off the air here right now. We got another segment here, but a big thank you to Jason Strudwick. I was just checking Twitter in the break, and a lot of Oiler fans from Alberta watched the segment and tweeting us saying, that was Strud's kind of game. last night. Mm-hmm. It was wild. I mean, you're not even a Flames or Oilers fan, and you were into it.
Had to.
That's why we love the game.
Yeah.
Games like that.
Well, it is. It's absolutely why we love the game. And, you know, it creates a rooting interest. I don't believe that you can watch sports without a rooting interest. I really don't. And I don't believe that you can really be into a game and care about it if you don't really care who wins. But it doesn't mean that I'm a Flames fan or an Oilers fan. But watching the game, I wanted Calgary to win.
You did?
Whatever it took. I had some sort of affection for Calgary. I wanted them to win. They did. It was awesome. It's a great game, watching the battle back and forth. I kind of like, you know what, Matthew Tkachuk's been taking a little bit of this and a little bit of that and kind of want him to stick it to him a little bit. And the game was played really well. It was a lot of fun. It was full of emotion. And I know there wasn't anybody who was into that game that didn't pick one side or the other, even if it wasn't your team.
Well, there's a lot to be said for who your team is and why they're your team and for how long they've been your team. I think people that know me long enough know that the Oilers, when I was a child, were my team. So I'm somewhat on the other side. When I find myself getting emotionally invested, I don't really like it because I'm like, why is this bothering me so much?
Yeah.
Is my point. I'm getting in fight with Flames fans on Twitter and they're saying really rude things. And I'm like, why am I into this?
Yeah.
And yet you're part of something with Oilers fans, where, as I said, they've accepted me in. It's all that.
Yeah.
So that part is good, but I also think it is bad. I think it's like Rider fans. I don't know how long I'd been voice of the team, 4, 5, 6 years. And while I loved the Riders, I didn't love them as much as some of these people loved the Riders. I'm like, is that wrong of me that that's their whole life? It's not my whole life.
It's completely different, too, when you're working in it.
Totally different.
You lose a little bit of the fandom.
Totally different.
And I know it's the craziness because it's like you want to go back and forth with the fans at the other side, and you're mad, and you're like, you know.
Say things you regret.
Giordano, I got Connor McDavid with the knee, and da da. And other people, no, he didn't. And you just want to, like, go at people, but you sit back and you wait, and you're just like, I can't. They're going to play again, and then you're just so excited because if they win, it's an opportunity to get back on top and feel good and have the upper hand. And that sports goes back and forth. It's a matter of, can we survive in between and not, you know, get into all the negative toxic
stuff? I should actually be happy because when I went to bed last night, I was thinking about Mark Giordano trying to knee Connor McDavid. And people, Flames fans, are sending me screenshots of that their ankles actually lock, not knees. And I'm like, well, he tried to knee him. It's intent. And people will say, you can't go to jail for thinking. Sure, he tried. Yeah, you can. It's called attempted murder. So this is what's going around in my head. But Mark Giordano attempted to murder Connor McDavid from a hockey perspective last night. So I would rather be thinking about those things than trauma and PTSD and addictions and all the stuff that I'm normally working in. So it's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
But I find myself sinking way too deep into this.
Well, yeah. See, that's the part where you got to be careful about staying on the surface level and not getting into the mud about it. I was joking with you about the poll question today, right? I'm like, who will have the longer season? That's an Oilers fan, disappointed the team lost and, you know, trying to get an upper hand today. It's like, okay, we lost, but who's going to have the longer season? And we're going to have 80% of people say, well, see, we're going to beat you in the end, right? But unfortunately, that's, you get into the toxic stuff, but that's the beauty thing about sports is play the long game, be patient. It's all going to come out in the playoffs and nobody cares who won the regular season games. They care about.
And see, Strudwick, Strudwick said it. He's like, this isn't over.
No.
Right? So it's the concept of the battle and the war. The war is bigger. Last night was a battle. So there's that. And it's funny, too. He was trolling me about wearing the Coyotes jacket and all that. And
he was?
Yeah. Oh, he didn't see the interview. He was. But here's another little thing, because I'm learning what my real passion in life, and I talked this about the rollout, is the recovery world. And I heard a saying within the last couple weeks in some of the research that I was doing was, you can't schedule feelings. Although you think you know how you're going to react, you think you know how you're going to feel. Sometimes in the moment, feelings overtake you that you didn't expect or you don't want. It happens. And this was a way of putting a phrase on it. You can't schedule feelings. Example, another night, not Larry Fitzgerald night, but another night, I'm in the Coyotes owner's box in Glendale. And the owners invited me down, hosted me. It's really cool. It's kind of what the Golden Knights are doing for us next month. So I'm with the owners of the Coyotes. You probably should be cheering for the Coyotes. Well, they were playing the Oilers. And I was sitting right between two of the owners in their suite, double wide in Gila River Arena. Eberle bursts down the right wing, rifles a shot, beats Louis Domingue, and I jump out of the chair and go, yes, abs! I was basically sent home after that.
No kidding.
You can't schedule feelings. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that oiler is really deep in me.
Yeah.
But it was stuffed.
And that's
real down.
That's hard because that's Oilers coming out. That's Pats coming out.
That's everything.
Canada coming out.
That's Regina.
Out. Regina, yeah.
So, well, yeah, probably was more of an Ebbs thing than an Oilers thing.
But
it was still
easy.
Embarrassing at the time.
Easy to talk your way out of, though, because it's Ebbs.
They didn't think it was...
They didn't see it.
No.
Way. Of course
No, I wish I had you to explain that.
I know, right? Why would they think it that way?
But as I said to you, this is where I am in life now. So the Golden Knights say, come on down and hang out and come to some games. Hey, if they say, like some of these teams do, here's the keys to the store. Go in and help yourself. Like the Rush did, mm-hmm. The Coyotes did. I can be bought.
Yeah, at least for a night.
Right. But I'm not probably going to have the Golden Knights right down in my DNA going through my veins.
Right.
But you can do a down payment on me. Yeah. A rental.
You know, it could be a rental. It's funny. And so I will give you some solace with Oiler fans because Calgary's 3-0 in the season series against Edmonton. But I, you know, as a Leaf fan growing up, I remember countless years. And especially, what was it, early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, somewhere in there, when Ottawa was beating the crap out of us all throughout the regular season. 7-0, you know, 6-2, whatever the nut records were during the regular season, beat us all the time. And without a shadow of a doubt, we always beat them in the playoffs. Never mattered. We always took care of them in the playoffs. So when you get there, Oiler fans, the regular season won't matter.
The Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question is who will have a longer NHL season, Flames or Oilers? What's the Facebook? There it is, boys. 64% say the Calgary Flames will have a longer season than the Edmonton Oilers. That's on Facebook, 64% Flames. On Twitter, Flames are winning by a smaller margin, 57%. While we're doing sponsored features, let's do the Sask Snowbeef WHL profile, the pro prospect profile for Sask Snowbeef. Carson Denemy of the Regina Pats. I was watching the game on Sunday when they were beating the Saskatoon Blades. I was sitting beside my brother, and we agreed how much we enjoy watching Carson Denemy, which when he played for the Warriors, I thought he was Denomi. It's Denemy, and he's a hell of a player, and he's 6'196", fifth-round pick of the Loops way back in 2015, 24 points since joining the Pats in 28 games. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Considering what they've been doing in the win-loss column. Former Pat Canadian star. And here's a scouting report from Dr. Phil. Phil Andrews, the voice of the Pats. Great shot, good ability to make plays. He has revitalized the Pats' power play this season. And we'll be watching him on Friday night when the Pats are home to the Victoria Royals. I'm very much looking forward to that game. Going with friends, going with family. Life's good. And Sask Snowbeef, by the way, I got a text from Ian. I want to thank you viewers and listeners. I don't know if you saw the message, but he said it's going great. They're selling a ton of Sask Snowbeef. He said Saskies are loving the Wagyu beef, Paul. Did you know that?
No.
Where's the beef?
They are. I went into
it's
local.
It's down at Crave and Local and Fresh.
Well, I went to Local and Fresh to get some, and the cooler was empty.
Right.
Sold out.
He's happy.
Oh, yeah.
Ian's happy.
He's
and that's because
good.
Of you folks, the viewers helping him out. So tomorrow, it's all football, okay? For you football folk that just have been begging for it here in January. I get it. I love it too, but we can't do it all football. But we will tomorrow. John Frenzy. I know that he's not watching right now, so I'll say this. Paul, I considered suspending John Frenzy for a week.
As you should.
Sitting him down. Do you know why? Did I tell
you
why?
It's a tough conversation to have, I'm sure.
A very tough conversation to have. I ran into him in Ricky's restaurant on the weekend. Not the Iguana, another Ricky, the restaurant. And he says, "You're not letting me talk enough." And my blood immediately started to boil. So I just considered sitting him down. Because what does the coach control? Ice time.
Sending a message, right? You got to make sure you control the locker room. Don't let the locker room get out of control. I get it.
But I'm not going to suspend him. I'm going to give him one more game. See if his attitude improves. "You're not letting me talk enough." John Lynch, welcome to my world. John Frenzy, our director of scouting, Craig Smith. Danny Machocha, the general manager of the Montreal Alouettes. Big news day for them. James Wilder Jr. signed by the Owls. They released Antonio Pipkin. Danny Machocha will be with us to talk about that and more. Jeff Reinbold from Super Bowl 54 in Miami. Jeff Reinbold, the Tiger Cats special teams coordinator and our Super Bowl reporter. And actually an interview that I'm really interested in. I'm obviously interested in all of those. But Matt Baker of the BC Lions. He is their communications guy. He's their social media guy. We go back a long ways. He's going to come on and talk about the BC Lions in the Lower Mainland.
That's going to be exciting. Because he's a guy who fields all of those media requests. How much is his phone ringing? I mean, I'm interested, right? How much talk is there? How much do people want a piece
What's
of the
BC uphill Lions? Climb?
Yep.
And how do What you, are you battling?
How do you move forward?
What's the battle versus the Seahawks? How much do they impact all that? That's Matt's probably watching right now because he watches every day from the Lions facility. Matt, I can't wait for tomorrow. So Paul's here. Somebody getting fired, Paul?
Nope.
Sharks are in the water.
Sharks are in the water.
They can smell blood. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.